two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome into a Jazz Notes podcast without the Jazz playing right now. It's been a little over a week since the NBA shut down their season because of COVID-19. Sam Farnsworth from KSL Sports Department, he's now joining me on the Jazz Notes podcast. Hey, real quick, before we get to what we're talking about today, and today we're going to play a game called Fill in the Blank. Just kind of think the old password game, but something along those lines. But before we get to that, how have you been surviving without the NBA, Sam? I think you've been posting on Twitter famous things in the state of Utah that have happened with your kids. Famous sports things, maybe not just in Utah, but all over right. The nation. You've got your kids to actually reenact these. Is this what you're doing during your downtime?
A little bit, yeah. That's part of it. Yeah, I had my kids reenact. Was Tiger Woods that famous chip shot in 2005 at the Masters, and then Kevin Nixon's buzzer beater at the WAC Championship in '92. We've got a few more up our sleeves, but need the weather to clear up a little bit again before we go back out to do it again. But yeah, that's part of it. That's part of what's. I'm just trying to come up with stuff to keep not only myself but my kids a little busy too, because they're not at school either. So it's definitely a strange world, because there's been no other time in my lifetime where everything, absolutely every sport, is shut down at the same time.
I remember last Wednesday when it happened, and I was just like, what is going on? I was actually, I wasn't quite home yet to watch the game on TV between the Jazz and the Thunder. And I'm just sitting there going, what is going on? I'm paying attention on Twitter as I kept going down the road on the train. And I was just about ready to get home, and I see this game canceled. And I'm like, what is going on? What was it like for you when you're seeing this whole thing happen?
Yeah, that was wild, because, I had just got home late the night before from our, 8 or 9 days that we were in Las Vegas with KSL Sports for the conference tournaments. And, so we were there. There was kind of that heightened sense of awareness that, maybe don't shake hands as much, maybe a few more fist bumps, just always be washing your hands, all that. But we were there for Utah State to win. We were there for BYU and their quick exit from the West Coast Conference tournament. And then, we actually left after that, but it didn't really matter, because the next day they end up canceling everything out there. And then I'm just barely at home, kind of trying to enjoy a day off and thinking, okay, let me tune into the Jazz game. Wait, there's no Jazz game on? What's happening? And that's when everything kind of started hitting me. So just strange. And then how quickly everyone responded after that also. It just it went very rapidly. The NBA's quick response, and then every other sports organization from there.
And that's kind of where we are right now. We're not sure if the NBA is going to come back. Adam Silver came out and said, hey, yes, we're going to try everything we can. The players want to play. The NBA wants to get back on. There are many reasons why the players want to play, by the way. It's not just that they want to play because they only have so many seasons, but there's a contractual reason why they want to play, too. But we're all wondering if they're actually going to play this season. I'm not sure if it's going to happen. And if it does, it'll be interesting to see what kind of a plan they come up with to try and get the playoffs going. But that leads us to our next segment, which is called Fill in the Blank. And Fill in the Blank is basically I provide Sam and I with four questions, and we're going to fill in the blank. It's kind of like a test. It's kind of not like a test. I don't know what it's really like, Sam. But anyway, we're gonna go forward with it. So the first question I have is, if the Utah Jazz season is over, will you consider it a – or you will consider it a blank? I'll start off with you, Sam. You will consider it a
– lost opportunity. And I'm sure a lot of teams in the NBA would feel the same way. But and I know – the Jazz have been reeling as of late, you know, especially since the All-Star break. They don't seem like the same team that was going towards the All-Star break that was one of the top teams in the Western Conference. But I still feel like it's somewhere in between those two teams that we really have this Jazz unit. It's a unit that's proven they can win, that they can win in streaks, and that they can beat some top opponents in the NBA this year. And if things just clicked at the right time, which I felt like they were starting to head back that direction again, we're starting to see Mike Conley come into his own with this team. And they needed that. We're starting to see Boyan start to kind of wake back up again. And so you're seeing this team start, to me, it felt like they're starting to kind of find that identity again that they needed to find heading towards the playoffs, which could have led to maybe, you know, once the playoffs start, anything can happen. It could have led to something pretty exciting for this franchise. So I think it's an unfortunate lost opportunity for the Jazz.
My word is going to be unfulfilled. If the season is over, mm-hmm. I'm going to consider it unfulfilled. And it's not just because the season ended early. It just felt like they – and I hate using the word. No, I don't hate using the word. Coaches hate using the word potential. But it just felt like these guys weren't quite living up to their potential when everything went down or when games stopped. I think that, as you said, they were kind of turning in the right direction. Identity mm-hmm. is such a key with this team. They were such a – the identity last year was so clear, Sam, that they were a defensive team. This year, it felt like they were in the middle. They weren't sure if they were an offensive juggernaut, or they didn't know if they were a good defense, or, you know, just the, kind of one of those defensive mm-hmm. teams that sometimes played good and sometimes didn't. It just felt like the whole season was unfulfilled because they didn't, not only because they didn't get to finish it out, but because we never figured out who this team really was. So that would be my word. Any comments on that?
I think that's right. You know, it was a team that was kind of two identities, you know, whether they were dominant on defense or electric on offense. And I think unfulfilled is a great, great word.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Sam. I'm going to pat myself on the back right now. I feel good about myself. Okay, the next one we're going to go through, it's if the Jazz season does continue. So let's say the NBA figures it out, and we're going to presume that the Jazz are going to be in the playoffs, okay? I would find it hard to believe that they would not make the playoffs. But let's just, for our sake right now, let's just say it's a regular type of playoffs, meaning, you know, teams in the West, teams in the East, they're all playing each other. So if the Jazz season does continue and they're in the playoffs, they will win how many playoff series? I'll start this one out, Sam. I'm going to say they're going to win one playoff series. They'll win the opening playoff series. But I'm going to put a caveat in there, and that is they're only going to win the first playoff series if they don't face the Houston Rockets in the first round, because there's something about the Houston Rockets right now where they just befuddle the Jazz. It's their small lineups. It's James Harden. It's Russell Westbrook. There's something about the Houston Rockets right now that they just befuddle the Jazz. But if they play another team, maybe not the Lakers, the Clippers, but you get what I'm saying. If they play like the Mavericks, maybe they play the Thunder, maybe they play one of those other teams. I think the Jazz actually win that series. They go into the second round, and I think they probably lose in the second round. Right now, they'd be in the 4-5 slot, so you end up mm-hmm. playing the Lakers in the second round. I don't know how the Jazz would face the Lakers right now, but the Lakers look really good, and the Jazz look pretty good. So I would mm-hmm. probably say that they would only win one series.
Yeah, when you look at the standings the way they are now, and obviously, you know, who knows how, if the NBA resumes, how they will resume, if they resume straight into a postseason, which I don't think would be very fair for even the best teams. You would want them to have some type of lead up to it, to warm up back into it. But just based off of where the teams are in the standings now, with the Jazz in the fourth spot, Oklahoma City in the five spot, I definitely like them winning at least one series. So that's my answer for the blank, at least one series. And then it just depends on who they would get in the second round. Obviously, if it were the Lakers, I don't like the Jazz chances as much. Let's say the Jazz, if they do come back with a handful of games before they go to a playoff and they're able to, you know, overcome that game and a half difference between them and the Nuggets and they get into that third spot, then maybe they got a second round game with the Clippers, who are great, but I think the Jazz actually match up pretty decently with them. So if that were the case, could they win two series? Sure. But with the way the standings are now, my answer would be at least one series.
See, I'm not convinced that they would do that well against the Clippers. I mean, they've done fairly well against them, but Kawhi didn't play in one game, and they did beat Kawhi in another game, but it'll be if Kawhi and Paul George are healthy, and with the weapons they have around them, I know that they're not a defensive juggernaut, at least not right now, but they've got so many offensive weapons, I'm not sure the Jazz could really shut them down. So I would still stick to just one series. If they're able to win one series, I guess in a way, for a team that we thought went all in and we thought maybe could make it to the Western Conference Finals, winning one series, I think, to me, and maybe even the Utah Jazz would be a little less, you know, I mean, would be unfulfilling. That's according to me. So I think winning one series, it would be nice, but I think Jazz fans, and I think even the Utah Jazz right now, they're kind of expecting themselves to do better than just winning one series.
Well, I think at the beginning of the season, you know, especially after the offseason that they had and the additions they made, I think it was kind of this is a team that should make it to the Western Conference Finals, you know, and I don't think that was unrealistic to think that in any stretch of the imagination. I felt like even at the midway point of the season, I still felt like that was a very realistic goal. The way they played recently, it seems like that would be a little more of a stretch to say the Jazz should be in the Western Conference Finals. So, this is a fan base and a franchise that was expecting more than just one playoff series win this year. So anything less than that, it certainly would be a little bit of a disappointment. Feel like maybe even a little bit of a step back, but the way things are headed right now, it's hard to be a little more optimistic than just one series win right now.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now. We've got two more questions we're going to cover. That's coming up next on the Jazz Notes podcast.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Jazz Notes podcast. My name's Cleon Wall. Sam Farnsworth joining me here from KSL Sports. All right, two more questions of fill in the blank. Sam, if the Jazz team is not harmonious by the end of the season, blank is the reason why.
Oh, man. So if they're not harmonious by the end of the season, and maybe I'm going to go down a path here that I shouldn't or Jazz fans won't like, but I'll say Donovan is the reason why. And here's why. And it's all going to come back to this coronavirus thing. If they're not harmonious by the end of the year, I think that's a part of the reason. I think that's what they'll look as the where they can blame things on. Well, things got paused because of this whole coronavirus, pandemic that's going on. Things got paused there. And the reason why they'll be able to blame Rudy is obviously because he was the first one to test positive. We saw the videos of his that he even admits the way he acted was irresponsible even before he knew he was ill, before he experienced any symptoms. And I'm sure that based off of reports that we've seen, it sounds like his actions in the locker room were similar. And what we've heard from Donovan so far doesn't sound like a very forgiving Donovan. It sounds like he's going to be okay, but he's a little irritated that he was diagnosed as well, although he's been asymptomatic. He says he's not had any symptoms at all. He's not felt ill at all, but he did test positive for it, so he's got to be in quarantine for 2 weeks. And I mean, by the looks of it, it seems like he's bored out of his mind in quarantine as well. So if that's where a rift really is, and if that is a rift that grows heading into the off season, and there's not harmony because of that, I think it would be because Donovan was not able to move on and just be like, okay with it. Do I think he can move on? And do I think he will? I think so. By the time they start playing ball again, I think it's going to be, you know, something that's in the past, and they're just going to be excited to be on the court again. But if there is a rift at the end of the year, I think that might be where the finger of blame gets pointed towards.
I think that seems like the obvious thing. And by the way, I'm not discounting that, because that really does seem like the obvious thing right now that that could be a rift. But I think there, I have no proof, but I would just say, if I had to blame it on a non-harmonious team, and maybe this is too broad because you're going to go with one specific instance, I'm going to go with the broad thing. I think it'll be because they just could never figure out how to play together.
Or
you had the new guys that came in, and there was so much promise on this team. Mike Conley's probably your main guy. And I'm not putting the blame all on Mike. I'm saying the whole team just never figured out how to play well together. Joe Ingles struggled this season. Mike Conley struggled this season. Donovan Mitchell showed individually that he has improved, but I would say that he's even had some problems with this team. Rudy Gobert, you know, he's struggled this season. He's had some problems with some of the players. He's wanted the ball a little bit more. So I would think that that's where I would put the blame. I think that the coronavirus thing is good, and you can kind of point to that. But I think that might be the larger issue, is that these guys just never found out how to play well together. I think if they would have done it, and again, I'll go back to that identity thing, if they would have recognized what their identity was, I think that this team would have been a lot more harmonious. So that's my opinion.
And I agree. You know, it's the coronavirus becomes the scapegoat, right? It becomes the area that they can easily blame. Whereas I agree with you, before this all happened, there had been, you know, it just seemed like they weren't clicking, like what you said, that they were still trying to develop that team chemistry. And so I think this just gives them a reason to blame things if it doesn't go well.
All right, last question we have. Blank will be the one key guy who leaves this team in the offseason. You know, I thought about Mike Conley, but I don't think Mike Conley leaves during the offseason. He can opt out of his contract, but would you opt out of a contract that's paying you over $30 million, Sam?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm going to say me? No, I don't think so. So I don't think it's Mike Conley, and maybe some fans who like Mike Conley will be like, well, he shouldn't, and we want him on the team, and others will, you know, hey, speaking of scapegoats, some people have made Mike Conley a scapegoat this season. I would probably say the guy that will probably leave is the guy that they acquired during the season, and that would be Jordan Clarkson. And it's because they're not going to be able to afford him. I think some teams are going to, unless they are able to convince Jordan Clarkson to maybe not take a pay cut, but kind of remain right around what he's making right now and say, you are so important to us as a key scorer off the bench. We really want you to stay, and maybe even we can leave you in near the end of the game during some games. I think you're going to see Jordan Clarkson go to another team because they're just going to be able to pay him more, whether he's a starter or whether he's a guy coming off the bench. And by the way, he's perfect coming off the bench for this Utah Jazz team right now, and I'd like for him to stay, but I'd say that's probably your key guy that you're going to see move on.
I agree. That's the name that I had on my list as well, because, and you know, for the same reasons that you mentioned, but also because, you know, Jordan Clarkson is very talented, obviously, at what he's able to do. And he's very confident in his own skill set and abilities. And I bet you he believes he can be not only a starter, but a key starter on a team somewhere in the NBA. And I bet you there are multiple teams in the NBA that look at Jordan Clarkson as a potential building piece to what they want to accomplish and be like, you know what, we need him in our starting lineup as a creator, as someone who can come into this offense, not only create plays, but create scoring opportunities that can electrify our team. And I think there's going to be a lot of teams that will offer him a lot of money as a result of that, that might be difficult for the Jazz to compete with, considering what they have coming up, you know, after next season's offseason with Donovan and Rudy becoming, you know, having to negotiate them again. And like what you said, Mike Conley, is there's no way he opts out of this deal that he's got, because no one's going to pay him that kind of money, unfortunately, because of the season that he's had. So the only way he's going to make that much money is by opting back into that final year with the Jazz, which kind of limits the amount of money the Jazz have to spend on a guy like Jordan Clarkson. So as much as Jordan Clarkson has been a great fit for this team, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for the Jazz to retain him.
And even though Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert have had a little bit of a rift over coronavirus, I don't think either one of those guys are going anywhere. I think that the team, whether they're happy or not with each other, I think, number one, I think they're going to forgive and possibly forget. But I think the team's going to tell them to do that, too. That's number one. And when it comes to a guy like Joe Ingles, I'll just pick on one other guy. I'll pick Joe Ingles. I really don't see Joe going anywhere. Number one, I think the franchise likes him a lot. And number two, even if they wanted to trade him, I'm not sure there's a team out there that would want to take his contract on. He's got two more years left on his contract. He's going to make just over $10 million next year, and he'll make over $12 million in the final year of his contract. I think most teams would be kind of scared of that unless they see Joe kind of bounce back. And right now, I think what people see from Joe right now is he's not shooting as well as he did, and he's getting older. So I think they might be scared away from that contract.
I think maybe to throw one other name out there as well that would be different from Jordan Clarkson, that would be interesting to keep an eye on would, I mean, he's under contract for a couple of years still, but maybe Royce O'Neal. He might have some trade value out there if the Jazz want to move him. I don't know. That could be a figure there where it seems like, you know, he's shuffled around between the starting lineup and the bench, and it's been hard to figure out his role with this year's team as well.
And when it comes to someone like Royce, I think the Jazz were smart in locking him up for a decent price. And now maybe, it's not that they don't like Royce, but now you can sit there and say to yourself, well, we've got him at he's got a decent contract. It's a movable contract. I think it's like around $9 million a season, right about there. So it's not like it's too expensive, but it's not that cheap. But, you know, a team could look at Royce and say, yeah, he's really good at shooting, and he's pretty good at bodying up bigger guys. Some players could really want him. So that's a good point, Sam. That's a good point. Sam, anything else you want to say before we end the Jazz Notes podcast?
I just really hope that everyone stops testing positive so we get back to basketball sooner than later.
Yes, it would be nice. We may not be in attendance. The games may not be at Vivint Smart Home Arena, but it'd sure be nice to actually see some NBA basketball again. Sam, thanks a lot for joining us here on the Jazz Notes podcast.
Thank you.
All right, Jazz fans, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for downloading and subscribing, and we'll see you later.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.